around, get around, I get around. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We're going to be traveling up to Albany today and speak with a very special guest, Catherine Weller. She is the Director of Education for the New York State Museum, and it's a fantastic museum. Catherine, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Oh, I'm such a fan of that museum. You guys have been, how long has the museum been there? It's been a long time.
It's actually very impressive in its history. The New York State Museum is actually the oldest and largest state museum in the country. We were established in 1836. So we've been continuing the history and science, research, and art of New York State for going on our third century.
Wow, three centuries. So you must have some collection, big collection.
It is pretty impressive. Again, the collections span from the natural history, the sciences. We also have an amazing history collection, decorative arts, art-based collection. So we really do have a holistic approach to the cultural and science-based history of New York State.
Yeah. You had 15,000 artifacts or something? I'm trying to remember the number. It was huge.
It's well over that, and I actually don't have the exact number, but again, depending on which collection you speak of, we have thousands of artifacts within each different collection. But again, each one, everything from, ornithology to decorative arts, each of those collections is pretty expansive.
Oh, yeah. And then you rotate them because you can't put everything out all at once. So.
Exactly. We have really very popular permanent exhibits, but we also throughout the year make sure to have have changing exhibits going on. So anytime you come to the New York State Museum, you'll have both the favorite exhibits, our Adirondack Hall, our Metro Hall, Native People of New York, but we also have wonderful changing exhibits that help highlight specific areas of art or science or history from New York State. Right now we have Represent is just finishing up, and that looks at contemporary artwork of Native American people within New York State. We also have From the Coast and the Sea, which is a beautiful art-based exhibit that looks at the nautical history of New York, and that came from New York Historical. So, again, it's a fun way of introducing anyone to New York's past, whether that be through the sciences, art, or history.
Yeah, those ones that are finishing up, how long are they? Maybe we'll mention when they end, because if somebody wants to run up there before they're over.
We actually, yes, in fact, we have Represent will end February 21st.
Okay.
And again, that exhibit is contemporary Native American artwork. It's absolutely beautiful. We have an amazing exhibit. This was a huge collaborative effort. The Shakers, America's Quiet Revolutionaries.
Yeah.
That will end March 6th. And that exhibit was a collaboration with Hancock Shaker Village, Mount Lebanon Shaker Museum, and Shaker Heritage Society, as well as the New York State Museum has a huge collection of Shaker artifacts, documents, archives from the New York State Archives in our library. So it is a pretty amazing comprehensive exhibit on the Shaker community. The Coast and the Sea, which I absolutely love, will also be closing February 21st.
Okay.
And that... the artwork from that exhibit spans from the early 18th century all the way through to the end of the 19th century. So it's beautiful. We've done some amazing programs in there, and I've seen audiences from the youngest children to our adult audiences. It really is a pretty beautiful and impressive exhibit.
So there's still time for people to get up there for those.
Definitely. Yeah. This is the perfect time of year to visit the New York State Museum. We have a lot of exhibits going on. We have a lot of events going on, and this is the time of the year we really try to make the museum accessible to our family audiences. Mm-hmm. So during the day we have a lot of school groups, but weekends we see those families coming in looking for something to do on the weekends, especially with the way the weather's been. Unfortunately, we haven't had as much outdoor winter programming, so it's a great time to visit the museum.
Is parking right at the museum, or do you...
Yes, we have on the weekends, parking is free, and we have very accessible parking lots on either side of the museum, so it's very easy to come in and visit.
Okay.
Weekdays, we do have a fee. It's about $5 in the afternoon, so if you're looking for something to do at the end of the day, especially after school with the family, there's a small fee, but it's still right next door, very accessible.
Okay, and it's open 7 days a week, and what are the hours?
We're actually open 6 days a week. We're open Tuesday Tuesday through Sunday. Monday is a day that we use for exhibit prep and a lot of program preparation, that type of thing. Okay. And we are open from 9:30 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening.
Okay, 9:30 to 5, okay. And do you take bus groups, like senior groups and things like that, or just the schools?
Oh, definitely. We actually have, we do large group registration. We have a website that covers both our school groups, but also bus groups, adult groups. If you have a group and you're interested either in programming, a tour, or just learning what resources there are at the museum for a larger group, we actually have a website just for that under our education department.
Okay. What is your website, too, if somebody wants to go and look that up?
It's www.nysm.nysed.gov.
Okay, so let me say that again. www.nysm.nysed.gov. G-O-V. Okay, great. And then you'll have all the categories in there. That's
exactly.
Fantastic. Now, when people come, what do you think are the most, you said the most popular are probably your Adirondack Hall. Now, what is that? Let's talk about some of the different permanent things.
Our permanent exhibits, and again, those are very popular. A lot of people have, a lot of school programs come through there. A lot of people remember them. Adirondack Hall looks at the history of the Adirondacks, both from the natural history, how it was created, what are the minerals that make up the area, what are the animals like, how has that changed over time, as well as the cultural and historical. So you learn about both the history of people in the Adirondacks, but also how the science behind it, and then also, again, using artwork to help illustrate both of those points. So it's a really beautiful exhibit. It's a great place to kind of introduce younger audiences to the Adirondacks and to the animals. We do have a lot of specimens in the collection. Elk Pond is one of our favorites. We always see children enjoying that, and we have a giant moose that's also a big favorite in the Adirondack Hall.
Giant moose, okay. That's wonderful. let's see, Metro Hall is what? That's New York?
We look at the history of New York City, really trying to see how it evolved from an early Native American landscape right through to the Dutch and the European settlement. And then one of my favorite parts about it is how the city evolved with each wave of immigration that came into the city, starting again as early as the 17th and 18th centuries, but really focusing on what was going on in the 19th century and looking at both the positives and negatives, how immigration changed the face of New York through the lens of New York City, how Ellis Island evolved, and how the different communities within the city evolved and really both created the character of the city, but also helped many of these new immigrants start their own path to the American dream. We also have in that exhibit, we also look at more recent issues, things like what our whole nation went through with everything that went on September 11th. So looking at that, and that's one of it's one of our most important areas. It's that exhibit is the World Trade Center Rescue, Recovery, and Response. It's one of our most important exhibits because it documents something that for many of us is something we all remember where we were when we heard about it. It's also becoming something that's introducing the theme to younger audiences. We have now we're seeing high schoolers coming up through who might have been alive but don't remember that day. And pretty soon it's going to be going into, you know, our younger audiences don't have a memory of it. So we've seen that as a very important exhibit that documents something that really impacted not just New York State but our country as a whole.
Yeah, when you could see these pictures and all, I mean, it's a much closer to experiencing it than just listening about it. And, you know, that's wonderful. That's good stuff. Now, you also, you have longhouses or something up there. I'm trying to remember. There was a couple Native American exhibits.
Yes, probably my favorite exhibit throughout the whole museum looks at Native people of New York. And that also is the basis of one of our most popular educational programs. We have about 30,000 students a year that come to the New York State Museum. And for fourth grade, looking at the history of Native people in New York State, pre-contact as well as after the point of settlement of Europeans, is very important. So the exhibit looks at the evolution of people. from the Ice Age on, and we do have a partially reconstructed longhouse or constructed longhouse in the exhibit. So it's wonderful to see students come in, and they've learned about this in school. This is a big part of the curriculum, and it's wonderful in social studies. But to see them be able to sit on a reconstructed or walk into a reconstructed longhouse, sit on the actual benches that are built to size of what the originals would have been. And then we also have a beautiful oral history element where they can walk further in, and there's a recreation of what it would have looked like during the winter with a matriarch of the family telling stories to a captive audience or a captivated audience. And it's, oh my gosh, it's very, again, it's that feeling of having history completely envelop you. And you can, it works so well with, again, not just younger audiences, but we've had visitors, adult audiences that come in and are just blown away. It's a great experience. We use artifacts and reproductions within there, so it feels very real. You have a sense of that veil between time and place really starting to be lifted.
Yeah, you have dioramas, right? Those are they called dioramas, or is that something?
Yep, we have exhibit displays that recreate different scenes based on archaeological excavations that have gone on. We have one that looks at, it's a scene along the Mohawk River, and it looks at the importance of the three sisters. So it's a farming and agricultural scene, again, showing kind of the female role in this society, how important it was. So you see the women are actually the farmers for the community. They're in the fields harvesting corn, but you can also see, again, students learn this in school, and then they can see the scene where you can see the corn and the beans and the squash or pumpkins all growing together. You can see we have the role of children in this showing. So it's something that everyone can see themselves mirrored in this to kind of create that interest, what's unique to them that makes them feel connected with it.
Yeah, yeah. Those dioramas, I think, they way back. I mean, they have been in the Museum of Natural History, but I think you had them first, didn't you? Or was that?
The use of dioramas for museum exhibits has been very popular for decades. We, in our old museum building before the 1970s, when we moved to our current building, we had dioramas. These are not the same.
Okay.
These were actually created the late 90s, early 2000s, and a lot of effort was used to work with Native people who still were in the area, use them as resources, talk with them. Again, the oral history is actually taken from a member of the community.
Oh, okay.
And then also the life masks were taken to help create accurate depictions of those community members. So they are, the people that you see in the dioramas are Native people.
Okay.
that the New York State Museum worked with at the time.
I see. Very nice. Very nice. Do you have a mineral display? Any Hall of Minerals kind of things with the state?
Yes. In Adirondack Hall, that's one of our more popular exhibits as well. In Adirondack Hall, we have a beautiful exhibit that looks at minerals throughout New York State. And it's Minerals of New York. It's right in Adirondack Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the basis of one of our really fun upcoming programs. It'll be Saturday, February 13th, and Sunday, February 14th, and it's our 23rd annual James Campbell Memorial Gem and Mineral and Fossil Show.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, not only can you come and see the exhibit on the first floor, but on the fourth floor, and we do have an admission fee. It's $5 per person,
mm-hmm.
and children ages 12 and under are free, but you can go and see tons of vendors. We have over 30 vendors that will be selling them. We have, it's one of the favorites for my children. They love, you know, making their own collections.
Oh,
and that's another thing. It's wonderful for children or for anyone to feel a part of the collecting process. It makes them excited about learning about them. And this is just, it's a fun thing. It's a fun program that helps bring interest to the subject and helps support the museum as well.
Wow. So the these different vendors, then people can buy rock samples and fossils. They have fossils there too, you said.
Oh, yes. We have everything from, you know, we have everything from simple, you know, beads that are made out of different types of minerals to really nice specimens, beautiful fossils. Again, it's a great opportunity if you are a collector, if you have a child that's interested in the topic, or if you're a teacher trying to add to a teaching collection for your own classroom. You know, everything from trilobites to fool's gold to quartz. I mean, there really is something for everyone.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a must-see. That's a really good one.
Oh, it's a perfect. And if you're looking for a really unique Valentine's Day weekend date, this is the perfect opportunity. It's something we've actually been blown away by the interest that we've seen from our own visitors. We have social media accounts talking about the event, and it's kind of fun to read the comments from visitors and audience members who are excited about it. So we've seen a number of people saying, oh, this would be the perfect date night opportunity, and we couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Kids always love dinosaurs. What, do you have any kind of exhibits that have dinosaurs in it? Or
not as much dinosaurs, but even cooler than the dinosaur, in my own opinion, we have a fully structured the mastodon in the galleries. It's the Cohoes mastodon. We're actually getting ready to celebrate the sesquicentennial of its discovery in Cohoes. So 150 years ago it was discovered.
Wow.
And that is completely constructed, both the original pieces, the original fossilized bones that were discovered, as well as the recreated ones to create that complete skeleton.
Wow.
That's actually on display in our South Hall gallery area, and that it's one of the must-see, probably one of the most iconic artifacts that the museum has. It's just spectacular.
Yeah, and that is a dinosaur. Mastodons, where they qualify,
it's not,
right?
It's prehistoric.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn big.
Yeah.
But it was a mammal. But we also have a diorama that depicts what the mastodon would have looked like in its natural environment, and with a young mastodon as well. So
you can
couple both the actual what's been recovered, what scientists find that help lead them to know what it looked like, but then also for younger audiences, that image really in life size, what it would have looked like.
Wow, very nice. Now the birds, fish, these are other high interest kind of things that, you know, do you do anything about the birds of New York State or fish? Or?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. We actually are in the process of updating our very popular Birds of New York exhibit. We have a whole exhibit for it, and it's a beautiful hall already. A lot of specimens, over 170 species of New York State birds are on display. And for coming up in the middle of February, we're going to be unveiling we're taking each section and updating it, making sure that the bird specimens really are depicted well, recreating their natural environments again so visitors have a sense of the context that they lived in. And we've already opened one new bay. That's brand new, just opened a couple months ago. And this month we'll be opening up a second bay. And hopefully that will be open in time for our biggest event of the year, which is New York in Bloom. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to unveil that right before that event.
When's New York in Bloom, and what is that? I'm not too familiar with that.
New York in Bloom is our biggest event for the year. It's one of my favorites. It's February 19th through 21st, and this is our 25th anniversary.
Mm.
So 25 years of New York in Bloom. This event invites over 100 demonstrators, displays to come in, and they're floral displays that use the New York State Museum as inspiration for their floral designs. Last year, next to one of the Native American displays, we had a beautiful floral design that incorporated, recreated the Three Sisters. So that's the idea of using the New York State Museum as inspiration. This event is one of our biggest fundraisers as well. All proceeds, it's $5 per person, and again, 12 and under are free, but the proceeds benefit the museum's educational programs for children. So again, this is something very near and dear to my heart because it helps us serve our youngest audience members.
Oh, yeah. So you want to bring your camera when you have, I'm sure there's some things you want to capture. capture on, you know, to look at
definitely.
Again.
Definitely. Yeah. And actually one of our exciting big displays will be done by David Michael Schmidt of Renaissance Floral Design, mm-hmm. and he's actually incorporating a photo booth into that display. Oh. So again, this is a fun event for adult groups. This is a great opportunity if you have an adult group looking for something to do, but it's also wonderful if you have children. There's lots of photo opportunities. Again, we're going to have over 100. We already have over 100, and the goal is to have 125 displays for the 25th anniversary.
Wow.
So throughout the museum, it's a great way of kind of, this hasn't been a difficult winter, knock on wood. I'm hoping yeah. it continues for February. But it's a great way to have a reminder of spring, to do something yes. colorful and happy during what is normally one of the worst winter months of the year. So yes. it's a fun event.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Now, any other events coming up that you want to tell us about?
Well, again, this is our busy time of the year. So we also have February break, vacation. We have a lot of programs going on for children. We have those available on our website. So if your kids are climbing the walls during that week and when school is out, every day we have programming here at the museum. Free, open to the public, very fun, educational. We also have our 6th annual Capital Region Construction event, and that's coming up in March, March 16th through the 31st. And that's another event that not only is a great opportunity to get your family into the museum, enjoy the museum, but you can bring all of the construction is basically a series of exhibits, displays, artwork, however you want to describe it, using canned food.
Oh,
and
wow.
All of that canned food goes towards our local food pantries in the Capital District. So the displays themselves are all supporting food-based support in the Capital Region, so food pantries. And then visitors, and I welcome people to do this, please come in. You can vote for your favorites by bringing cans of food in. So not only can you come and enjoy the artwork, but you can actually both vote for your favorite, so be an interactive element in judging, but also support your own local community by bringing in that food. It's one of those win-win events for everybody.
Who makes the exhibits of the foods up?
We have different organizations from around the construction participants are all, you know, some of them are engineering students from local colleges.
Oh, okay.
Some are groups, you know, grocery stores might sponsor a team. And the participants design and build the giant sized structures themselves. They're
wow.
made completely out of canned foods. And I mean, this year's theme is play.
Uh-huh.
So I can't wait to see what inspiration they come up, or you know, what inspires them and what they end up using, because every year these structures, they're huge. They're mammoth sized, and they're on the 4th floor of the museum. So you'll come up the escalator and you just see sculpture after sculpture. Last year was superheroes, and we had everything from a superhero themed version of Mount Rushmore
yeah.
to a giant Batman head that also had the Joker incorporated into it, to Emmett from the Lego movie. And it's one of those just unique, fun things that you can't see anywhere else.
So there's different teams, people vote, and then whoever wins the vote, what happens there? That's
Well, this is, again, and a lot of it is for bragging rights. The
yeah.
big goal of this event is to raise food for our local food pantries, as well as raise awareness for the need in the community.
Yeah.
But the fun bragging rights part is that the different teams are, they're competing on different levels. So they're competing, the People's Choice is the one that we invite our audience members to come in and vote for. But there also might be something for the design, for the amount of food used. Mm-hmm. Also, my favorite category is for the most well-rounded meal, and
mm-hmm.
that's where they're actually given a list of what supplies are really needed the most in the food pantry. So it's not just creating something that's visually appealing, but also creating something that's the most beneficial to the food pantries.
Fantastic. Gee, we ran out of time. I can't believe this went really fast. Catherine, I want to thank you very, very much. Give the website again so people can look everything up, and hopefully we'll be up there to see you.
Oh, my pleasure. Our website, again, is nysm.nysed.gov.
Right. And Catherine Weller, thank you very much. And I thank everybody who's listening. I hope you take a trip up to the State Museum. Any time of the year, there's something going on, but there's especially a lot going on now. Well, that's a wrap for today. I hope you have a wonderful trip. Bye-bye.